The revolving door at the jail is just a figure of speech, but it's a figure of speech that gets used frequently with Jackson County's jail. There are more people arrested awaiting trial that can fit in the jail, so standing court orders require people to be released from custody on a regular basis. The answer, a bigger jail. For reasons we'll get into, there's not much expansion room at the current site, so plans continue to take shape for a whole new Jackson County jail. There's land being eyed for the site in North Medford. Let's get into the need for the jail and what not meeting that need does to the criminal justice system. We have two guests very involved with all this on both sides of the equation. Nathan Sickler is the Jackson County Sheriff, newly reelected. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. And Beth Heckert is with us as well. She's the Jackson County District Attorney. Good to have you here as well.
Thank you.
So, Sheriff, lay out the issues with the existing jail.
Well, the existing jail, frankly, is the big issue is it's too small. You know, it's over capacity every day or nearly every day. We're constantly having to force release individuals before they can make their first court appearance. The building design is antiquated, so it's really kind of labor intensive to operate and doesn't have a lot of useful spaces for things that, you know, are considered best practice with regards to mental health treatment and drug and alcohol addiction services and whatnot. So it's just really, it's just an antiquated old design that's not serving the needs of our community.
How old is the jail?
It opened in 1981, I believe. So it's, you know, it's getting on, 40 years old. As far as how long it's been open. And it's it was designed to hold, I think, 190 inmates when it was first open, 160 inmates. And then through the years and renovations and remodels and adding beds, we're up to about 300 during the day and 315 at night.
And so do you have to release people every day pretty much?
Yeah, our average daily capacity the last time we looked, which was about a month ago, I think for this year was around 334. And our capacity at night is, you know, 315, and that's just recent. So that's in the last couple months. So we're quite a bit over capacity every single day.
So help people understand, too. I mean, this jail is almost entirely or completely for people awaiting trial. Is anybody serving post-sentencing time in there?
Generally speaking, I think we have outside of parole and probation sanctions, so that's a little bit different. So if somebody is convicted and has gone through the system, and then they're placed on, say, supervised probation or parole or whatnot. Once, if they do something to violate their parole or probation, then they can serve a sanction in jail. So outside of those individuals, generally speaking, we have about one or two sentenced inmates in our jail. So in essence, no, we're not really holding sentenced inmates.
All right. So not like in California, for example, where there's been a pushing down of inmates to the local level to serve a year or two sentences there.
Correct.
Okay. So, Beth Heckert, talk about the impact on your office as you're trying to prosecute people who've committed crimes and get them to serve their time. Do you have issues with people showing up for trial because they've been released from the jail?
Absolutely. Our failure to appear rate is really high, and that partly is due to defendants knowing that if they don't show, there's not going to really be a consequence. So we have that issue. We do some pretrials and statuses. So there's some other court appearances a defendant has to make. So it's not always that the jury trial is the one that's canceled. They've missed something before that so that we haven't gotten that far in the process.
But, and you said the rate's high. How high is the failure to appear rate?
I don't have an actual figure, but if you go to any court session like arraignments or status check, you know, at least a third of the people on the list are going to be failure to appear.
A third, okay. So does it impact the kinds of charges you file? I mean, you have to take a different strategy in figuring out what will keep a person in jail versus what won't?
No, we file our charges based on the facts of the cases, so we don't change how we're going to charge. One thing that we do see often, though, is if you get someone who's just started to get into trouble in the criminal justice system and they don't appear, so they go out and pick up a second charge, now they have two charges, and we sometimes see that multiplying like to 9 charges before they're finally able to be held. And so that really, you know, amplifies the caseload, the workload. It makes a big difference for warrants, for the jail, for the police agencies. You know, that just really compounds the whole issue. Whereas if you could have held that person on their first or second charge and actually got them into some treatment, if that's what the issue, or done whatever you needed to do, you know, we would have stopped all those additional crimes from even occurring.
A potential to break a cycle before it gets
absolutely
really underway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Nathan Sickler, you've been the sheriff for 2 years, but in Jackson County law enforcement off and on for nearly 20. And I have to wonder, as a person working a case, what it's been like to work a case, make an arrest, and then have somebody turned loose.
Well, I think we've become so acclimated to that in Jackson County as far as the lack of space in the jail. You know, I went back and looked at data for, 10 years when we started looking at this new jail project. And, we've been essentially over capacity for 10 years, in a row. So, and we're going to go on 11 here after 2017. So, it's something that officers are kind of used to, unfortunately. And it just really kind of changes, I think, the whole dynamic of the criminal justice system. So we do a lot of compensating for the lack of jail space in Jackson County with regards to, how situations might be handled, whether it's a cite and release type issue or a lodge issue. When I first started here in 98, we would lodge a lot of our DUI offenders. And you could sometimes expect some of those offenders to stay the whole weekend if they couldn't make a bail or if the judge didn't let them out over the weekend. And that's just not the case. Very few DUI offenders are lodged at this time just because we don't have room. So it really kind of changes the way that I think officers at street level kind of operate.
We were talking about the Jackson County Jail currently and prospects for a new one in the future. Nathan Sickler is the Jackson County Sheriff. Beth Heckert is the Jackson County District Attorney. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Our phone number is 800-838-3760. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. We have an email already from Laura in Talent who wants to know, why can't we prioritize programs such as veterans courts, drug courts, and mental health courts and other community programs rather than bigger jails? Beth Heckert, why don't you start there and talk about what some of the other options are outside of the standard criminal justice pathway.
Sure. We currently have two drug courts, a mental health court. So we are already doing those programs. But even those programs need to have a jail to back up the, if you don't follow through with the treatment. Unfortunately, sometimes that's the hammer that gets people to go ahead and participate in programs.
That is the backstop that says, okay, if you don't do this, this is what looms.
Right. And often when people who are eligible for drug court or going into drug court, they have been on a drug run for quite a period of time, and they need a time to kind of get a little clean and sober in jail before they can start their programming. So the drug courts do typically have a few beds in our jail that they will, sparse out and use that as well. But it does impact those also, because if a person ends up getting revoked because we couldn't use very much of a local sanction, and then maybe they go out and commit new crimes, then they're ending up going to prison. So, that defeats the whole purpose of what we were trying to do to deflect people into our drug court programs. Jackson County doesn't have a veterans court program, but we have all the other drug court programs that are around the rest of the state.
All right. So in answer to Laura's question, it's like this and you need them both, really.
Yes. Yeah. It's not a replacement for the other. So if we had more jail space, it doesn't mean that we still wouldn't use those drug court offers and try to get people into drug court. But again, if you don't stay in custody long enough to even talk to your defense attorney to resolve your case to get into drug court, you just never get there.
Sheriff Sickler, you touched on some mental health concerns just in the outset of the interview. What kind of programs are you able to offer in the current jail, if any, really?
Well, we do have somebody that comes in and works with our population that are experiencing some mental health issues. But as Beth had talked about, is this the time that we're able to hold individuals? Frequently, we see people who are suffering from some sort of a mental health episode. They can kind of commit low-level crimes, public disorder, maybe trespass, some theft, some things of that nature that aren't super serious crimes, but people are calling the police and asking them to deal with them because they're causing kind of a public disturbance. So the officers, will try to deal with them appropriately, but oftentimes that will result in a low-level arrest because there's not other options really right now for them locally. And those arrests are appropriate because they've broken the law. But when they come in on a low-level charge, we don't get to hold them for what we would like to, at least a day. And that way the mental health worker can come in and evaluate and see what's going on and maybe link them up with the appropriate services. But frequently they're re-released quickly, and then they're back on the street, and then they're reoffending. And then this perpetuates over and over again until now it's really become an issue, and then we have to hold them and deal with multiple charges instead of maybe just one. So it's kind of this along the same lines as those with the drug offenses. We're just not holding people long enough to link them up with the appropriate resources, to appropriately diagnose them, and a whole manner of things.
So in the process of helping envision a new jail for Jackson County, which is why you're here, we're talking about the prospects for that. How much of it is you know, you basically got to have your box to hold people in, and how much of that though is also tailored around programs that you'd like to offer? If you could have, you know, more mental health treatment in the facility, et cetera. I mean, how much do you design the building around what the functions are going to be, other than just locking people up?
Yeah, so we're in the initial processes of figuring out a design. And so we are in contract and working with an architect firm who does this kind of work for a living. And they've been in Jackson County several times, and they met with a lot of our stakeholders. You know, they met with our Public Safety Coordinating Council, who has all manner types of members of the community, from mental health, from the courts, you know, police, city officials. And then we had more in-depth interviews at our office with these individuals asking, you know, hey, what do you need to facilitate your work within a facility and come up with a design? So we're right in that time frame of where we're looking at what that space looks like. But, you know, our community to us thus far has indicated that all these things are important. Mental health programs, addiction services are important, and you do need appropriate space. One thing in our jail that's certain right now is that we don't have extra space, and we don't have the appropriate space to conduct effective treatment.
Nathan Sickler is Jackson County's sheriff. Beth Heckert is Jackson County's district attorney. We're talking about plans for a new jail for Jackson County because the old one is just getting too small, has gotten too small about 10 years ago, maybe even longer ago than that. You can join the conversation on Exchange, your thoughts about a new jail, and of course the other question of how to pay for it. Welcome here at the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. When you're coming up with a number of beds, I mean, is there a certain thumbnail sketch, like a rule of thumb about, you know, X population equals X number of jail beds?
No, not necessarily. I think it's the number. Obviously, there's budget constraints when you talk about numbers because, you know, as you increase numbers, you increase size. And as you increase size in a jail, the cost goes up dramatically. So we're looking at a whole bunch of things. The one thing that is for sure is that we've been operating in such a way in Jackson County for so long that the architects, when we were describing our issues, and they aren't just architects, but they have some people who are interfaced or educated in the criminal justice systems and understand the language between the criminal justice and architects, so they can help design space and needs. And they basically said, you guys are so upside down here that you don't even – it's going to be tough to tell what you really do need because you're doing so many alternatives to your typical jail custody, you know, arrest, lodge, and hold, and doing so many different things that it'll be tough to ascertain what that number is. But we're working on it. We're collecting statistics, we're collecting facts, and we're meeting with them regularly to try to kind of figure out what that target is, but also be mindful of budget constraints because, you know, we don't have endless amounts of budget money to create, you know, 1,000-bed jail and then, you know, just, oh, if it's too big, then, you know, did we build an excess and weren't mindful of our budget constraints.
What are you working with, a rough number, like 400 beds or something like that?
Oh, no, it's much bigger than that. So right now we're sitting at 300, you know, beds mm-hmm. During the day, and we're running at a capacity of about 334, but we're forced releasing, you know, I think last year it was 4,000 people, and then we risk release another 3. So 7,000 people went out of our jail before, you know, they could go to arraignments essentially or have their first court appearance. So when you take all those factors into account, and, you know, as Beth mentioned, the fail to appear rate in 2017, we issued 10,200 fail to appear warrants. So the fact that there's that, and then we're not holding sentenced inmates, and that parole and probation, community justice are using shorter sanctions than what they might in a normal, you know, if we had plenty of space, and we're probably looking at 700 750 beds, because the other goal is to not fill your jail, right?
Right.
Your goal is to
get the situation again too.
Yeah.
Soon.
Well, not only that, but it's just not healthy. So healthy correctional facility, you want to have vacancies so you can house inmates appropriately, because you know we look at classifications as a pretty important aspect of you know public safety and you know reducing recidivism potentially, and so when you have a little space and you're cramming individuals in a building, you don't have the ability to classify them as we would like to. And what I mean by that is, you know, you might not put a individual who's been in prison, you know, five times and had their whole life of criminality with somebody who's a first time or second time offender, because we want to mentor the other or influence them. So, you know, having those spaces big enough to where you can house individuals by classification to help reduce that kind of that criminality, and also just for the safety of the facility and, you know, workflows and all those things. So yeah, we would love to, you know, if we had a jail that held 750 people, we'd want to sit at, you know, 500 or 550 inmates, you know, at the most, or less too. I mean, obviously we can reduce crime. That's great, but.
But more than double the capacity is what you're talking about here, though.
Yeah.
And so, Beth Heckert, as district attorney, what kind of things have you said to this process about things that you want to see from the prosecution side about program space in the jail or anything that, in addition to just the number?
Well, I think the new jail facility would have a courtroom in it, for example, so that
you do arraignments on site.
We would do arraignments, sentencings there. They would probably set it up to where it actually could have a trial held there, although I don't know that we would actually do that. But it would be designed for that as well. So when we met with the architect team that the sheriff was mentioning, those were some of the things. A little bit of office space for our deputy DA to be able to man that arraignment session. And, you know, and then programs, what kind of drug treatment programs might you get someone started in, and then you can hand them off to someone in the community. And so that piece is very important to try to have, make those connections while they're, you know, you've got their attention, basically. And then you can hopefully get them into the programs that they want to get in, reconnect them with mental health if that's where they've had their relationship before, or start them in with a new drug treatment program or to get them going on those issues. So they've actually kind of have a way to get connected right into those programs and hopefully break that cycle.
So we have a ballpark capacity idea, about 750 beds. We have some ideas for program spaces. Now this ends up costing some money. And the number bandied about thus far is $100 million. Jackson County doing a little better perhaps than some other Western Oregon counties, but still having watched timber revenues crash over the years, doesn't have a huge bank account. So what are you talking about for funding sources to be able to build such a jail? And then once it's built, to be able to operate it?
Yeah, so the first thing we want to do is try to narrow down what this cost is going to be, you know, to find out what the number is, because, you know, $100 million was thrown out very early in this process as just a, hey, that's an estimate, could be probably a low estimate. And, you know, looking at what modern facilities and with all the treatment spaces in mind and how big they need to be and some of the amenities they need to hold, is that could be a bit low, $100 million. But the county has done a good job of building reserves and doing things. So the thought is to create some service district, essentially, because the operating costs are what is going to be the big costs for this jail. You know, the operating costs will exceed the building costs within probably 5 years or 6 years. You know, and so finding a operational funding source is the most important.
Is this like the library district in Jackson County?
Kind of. It'll be kind of. But we're hoping to just use the service district money as that comes in to help offset the cost of building, and then we'll have this permanent revenue source to operate the jail, because it'll be expensive to run. And there's counties who have built jails on bonds but haven't considered the operational costs long term, and then they weren't able to either open the facilities like Wapato
up in Portland.
Yeah. they never open it. Now I think somebody filed for a demolition permit for that building.
Yeah, Jordan Schnitzer bought the place, is what happened.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a great example of things that can go bad if you don't plan ahead. So that's why we're going after the operational costs, not necessarily the building costs right now.
So I noticed you did a survey for jail funding in March of this year. And when you asked people, you know, things that they're concerned about, This is question 11, in case you're keeping track. Don't raise taxes is at the top of the list, but the need for the jail was number two. Well, you know, I can't say that what I see in this is an overwhelming support for, yes, let's go build a new jail and let's go pay for it right away.
Yeah, I think that's always the challenge is when you talk about taxes, especially the way that when it's structured in Oregon, you know, off property taxes. And, you know, but the number two thing is to build a jail. So I guess, you know, what we're looking at as part of my job, and I'm sure I don't want to speak for the other county officials, but is to present an option that is palatable and tries to meet both those needs. Now, I don't think it's possible to have either one of those without the other, right? You can't build a jail without taxes because they're expensive. And, you know, people want us to build a jail, so we have to present an idea how to do that. And so I think if we can come down quite a bit from that initial number, that $9, and get it way down in costs, mm-hmm. I think we have a much better chance of passing it, obviously. But I think people—
Is it $1.09 you're saying for an operating—
The initial survey mm-hmm. put out was $1.09, and I think we're going to be much lower than that. I think right now we're estimating only, it's only estimates in the ballpark of somewhere of a net 60, but could even be a little lower. We're just going to have to wait till we get the cost assessments down.
So for both ends of the criminal justice system, is it a combination of exciting and daunting to undertake this project? Beth Heckert?
Yes. And I mean, the jail's not going to get built overnight. So even if we had the green light right now, today, it's a number of year process probably to get a jail up and actually housing inmates. So we still have to continue to try to be creative with how to use the space that we've currently got.
All right. So still stuck at the 300 number roughly for now and looking perhaps down the road at 750. I haven't talked about a site. We just have a few seconds. Nathan yeah. Sickler, where are you looking?
The county's in escrow on land that's really close to our current sheriff's office at Vilas and 62. Mm-hmm. So it's a great location. It'll provide a lot of access, easy access for the municipalities to get in and out of the facility. It's close to our current building, so it'll help build efficiencies into our current sheriff's operations. And it's 47 acres of really usable land. So again, we're still doing some due diligence on that. So, mm-hmm. But once all those boxes are checked, hopefully that'll be our future site.
Okay, roughly north of the Medford Airport, Jackson County, looking at a new jail. We'll keep you posted on where things go. Nathan Sickler is the sheriff. Beth Heckert, the district attorney. Thank you both for joining us today on the
Jefferson
Exchange.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you.